The Korean FC podcast is kindly sponsored by Radio Taxis. Give them a call, 70353-709. They know the score.
Hi, welcome along once again to the official Korean FC podcast. The league season as such is now finished, and we're in the situation where we're just now waiting for the playoffs. So, end of the season, and didn't finish too badly. Johnny McNabb, my regular co-host. Good to see Korean actually winning a game post-split, wasn't it?
Aye, it was a nice welcome boost, and so it was, and good to see Chevy amongst the goals. And yeah, I thought we played well, to be fair. Luke Larne didn't have much to play for, let's be totally honest. So, but then it was good to see Chevy back amongst the goals, and bit of a feel-good factor before we left. I still think the kickoff should have been 3 o'clock, though. But anyway, that's for another day. But no, look, it was good to get a wee bit of confidence here, and then obviously the playoffs. Good to see.
Who makes these decisions about kickoff times anyway, Johnny?
I know. Hey, to be fair though, I think if two teams had been, say, Larne and Linfield were neck and neck last game, it would have been made for really good probably TV. So, or even the bottom, you know, for example, if Portadown hadn't been relegated the week before. So I can understand the decision, but obviously whenever everything was more or less decided, it's pretty immaterial, really.
Yeah, sure. Kept you off the drink for an hour or two, didn't it? It was your gym night out on Saturday, so.
Well, I certainly made up for lost time by all accounts, so I think I gave everyone a sore head. So if I do that sober, what am I like with a few drinks on me? So.
Very good, very good. Well, we're not on our own this evening. We've got a very special guest on the podcast this evening, and I'm delighted to say we're joined by the Lochall manager, Dean Smith, the new additions to the Premiership next year. First of all, Dean, many congratulations from everybody at Korean on your promotion and your championship win this year. I'm sure the last week or so has been a bit of a blur for you.
Yeah, it really has. First of all, thank you for the invite for coming on. And it's been a bit of a blur to say the least. It's been a few nights out and a few lost days and lots of phone calls and lots of celebrations. But thankfully now it's starting to go back to normal.
Very good. Yes, and you know, you said thanks for the invite, and obviously Johnny invited you on, and I believe you and Johnny go back a little bit in journalism terms and football terms.
Yeah, I made Johnny's career. No, Johnny used to work for the local paper, the Ulster Gazette, which is down our direction, and he used to phone me every Monday morning, win, lose or draw, and annoy me really for 45 minutes on the phone. But no, look, as I said, he phoned me every Monday, and to be fair to him, he always gave us a good write-up no matter what. So that's why we remain good friends.
And thankfully, things have changed for both of you since. Obviously, Johnny, he's now moved on to the heady environs of the newsletter. And yourself, you know, you mentioned about losing and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, those days probably seem far away now. You had a great successful season this year and into the top flight.
Yeah, look, we done really well. I think we've done really well over the past three seasons. It's sort of been building, and if you sort of remember rightly, we lost points over the last two seasons for off the pitch matters, which I think we wouldn't have been too far away. So, thankfully, third time lucky, we've got over the line, and yeah, we had a really good season in terms of victories and not conceding too many and being able to play decent football along the way. And again, thankfully, we were able to get it done early. You know, I think we had done it with three games to spare, so it was a wee bit of a relief, to be honest.
And Johnny, I'm just thinking, is it any coincidence, you know, that you leave Ulster Gazette, you leave Armagh, you stop bothering Dean, and then they just go on and they win the league and they get promoted? I mean, are these two things unconnected?
No, they are connected.
Yeah, I'm leaving Korean soon anyway, so we might win a trophy. But no, listen, obviously, I always have a keep an eye out for Lochall and Armagh City, to be fair, since that was really my first job. So, and then obviously, don't know what took them so long, but I don't know what took Lochall so long, but they're finally up. So, I think, you know, Championship's a hard league to get out of. I listened to Darren Mullen this week in the Irish League show, and nobody knows better than that man. I think he's helped, is it nearly up two or three times? So, it's a tough league to get out of, and probably be a relief to get out of it, especially now with Portadown in there and maybe Warren Point or maybe not Warren, who knows with that one.
Dungannon,
yep, or Anna. So, it's a tough league, and it'd be great to see a different team name up there for a while. And I've seen the videos of the Loch Gall fans celebrating and stuff with the players and that. So, no, yeah, it'll be good to get to go somewhere different.
And you know, excuse me, from working down there, Johnny, you obviously covered Loch Gall every week for the paper. I mean, can you give us an idea just what it means to the area down there to have Loch Gall promoted to the top league?
Well, I think anything you've read and you've seen, you know, I think I'm sure Dean's fed up saying it, but it wouldn't be the biggest place in Ulster would Loch Gall be, but they probably have a core band of supporters and it means everything to them. Probably the same as Newry. You know, Newry have a core band there and they'll follow their team home and away. So, you know, they'll be there on merit. It's no fluke to get out from that league. And I knew it. And whenever I was watching the Irish League show as well, you know, Dean said that Newry is probably the example for them to go up there and try and stay in the league. And, you know, Loch Gall for first place for Loch Gall next year is probably finishing 10th, where you don't have a playoff, you don't have relegation. So yeah, it's gonna be different for teams going there. It's gonna be a hard place to go and everyone else, and yeah, I'm sure that they'll be looking forward to it. And you know, they're not there to make up the numbers. There's not much point getting out of the championship if you've got a defeatist attitude. So no, yeah, look, I think it's great for the league. It's great for Loch Gall, and obviously great for Dean because he's been there for quite a while.
Yeah, I mean, Dean, Johnny referenced the fact that Loch Gall isn't the biggest place in the world, and anybody who has been there knows it's, I think, regarded as a village or whatever. So what's the secret of the success? Because we all know that football clubs, you know, with the professional era, even over here, things are getting harder for so-called smaller clubs. So how did you manage to sort of do that? Because there are some big hitters in the championship, even last year.
Yeah, look, as I said, it's probably been building over. We're at the club now 6.5 years. So it's been a building process, and what we've done every year is to try to take what we call baby steps forward. So we're trying to improve year on year, and obviously by the end of that you want to get where you be, and thankfully we've done it. But you know, it's been a long hard slog, and the other side of that is we've a small committee. It's not massive, but we've a very hard working committee. And if you come down to us, you'll see the facilities that we have. You know, we have our own training, 3G full size training pitch, we have our own grass pitch, we have our own gym, everything that we have is on site. So as I call it, it's under one roof. So when a player comes and parks up for the night, he's a physio, he has an ice bath, he has a gym, he has a full-size 3G training pitch, he has the grass pitch to work on. So the facilities are at the club are to match anybody within the league. Yes, it's a very, very small place. But also I think when you try and run the club as professionally as what we do, or we try to, I think that helps attract the right kind of player also. You know, players want to be treated as professional as possible. And we have tried to do that, you know, within the championship, and obviously now we're going to try and do it within the Premier League. We know it's going to be tough, but it's not impossible.
Just talking about players, because obviously you say the players, all players like to get treated well, and I know they get treated very well at Corian as well, because without players, you don't have a club as such. When you're making this move now, I'm guessing as a manager, do you now sit down with your assistants, etc., your coaching staff? Do you have to make some hard decisions over the summer as to what way you go with players? Because do you look at it and think some players maybe have to let go? Do you have to try and bring in, I'm not saying better players, but maybe players with Premiership experience? I mean, do you have some difficult decisions to make?
Yeah, first of all, you know, without players, there is no football club, not just ours, but at any club. You know, players, for me, is the most important people at any football club. So they will be the number one at any football club. But for us, yes, we're going to have to sit down and have a look at our squad and see where we can improve. We, you know, what we've done year on year is not maybe bring in a large influx of players. We've brought in 2, 3, and 4 every year, not a massive influx. And we've tried to build on what we have already there. And this year will be no different. We'll try and bring in, you know, 3, 4... Premier League players, so to speak, that have Premier League quality and Premier League experience. But that's not to say the players that are there now aren't good enough. But obviously, when you bring players in, you know, by the nature of it, some players won't be happy and want to move on. And it's just the nature of the beast, so to speak. So the same as we're the same as every club. You know, when and if Cole Rain sign players, you know, that'll push somebody else's nose sort of down the pecking order a wee bit, and they'll want to move on to it just for their own sake or play football or whatever. So yeah, there is always tough conversations to be had in pre-season, not just because we've got promoted, but because we want to improve the squad year on year.
And I suppose when you mention that, you know, players, we all know the way it works. You know, players sign for a club, as you say, maybe other players are surplus then. And I'm thinking the likes of Kirk McLaughlin, for example, who was Corian, was at Glentoran, and then ended the season down at Loughgall because he obviously wanted to play matches, he wanted to play football regularly, and it suited both parties, suited all parties, didn't it, for him to do that. And that's a very good example of what you're talking about.
Yeah, look, as I said, for Kirk, it was a no-brainer. Obviously, I have a relationship with Rodney, and I knew that he had been at Coleraine, and I knew he was really highly thought of because of Jammy. No, look, I knew he was really highly thought of, and obviously that's why he went to Glentoran, and maybe he didn't get on the bench or play enough minutes as well. He elected him. The option came that we were maybe able to take him alone, and we did so, and he came in, and he was super for us. You know, he picked up a wee niggle in his knee for two or three games and maybe knocked him out of his stride a wee bit, but, you know, he came back in the last games of the season again and scored. So, look, that's the sort of players that we're going to have to target. We have to be realistic. We're not going to be able to sign the best players in the league. So what we want to try and do is pick up the best young players or players that we think can improve massively. So that's always been our sort of mantra, so to speak, is that we don't go out. We don't have the financial resources to get the best, even in the Championship. So we went about it a different way, and it'll continue in the Premier League.
And what about Kirk? Does he now return to Glentoran again in the summer, or what's his situation?
Yeah, well, Kirk will return to Glentoran. His loan deal's up, and he'll do a pre-season with Glentoran, and he'll probably do the same again. He'll see how pre-season goes, and he'll re-evaluate where he's going to be in terms of minutes and in the squad, and probably if he's not getting as many minutes or playing time as he'd have liked, he'll maybe ask for another loan move. You know, I don't know what the situation is with Rodney, because I actually haven't spoke to Rodney. So, you know, first of all, we're very thankful that we were able to get him. We love to have him at the club. I think he's enjoyed his time with the football club, and you know, if there was an opportunity somewhere else down the line, then yes, we would be interested.
And Johnny, what Dean's saying, I guess it's not too dissimilar from what Oren says to us from time to time as well, because yes, I suppose Corian are a little bit further down the line than Loughgall, but you know, even Oren would say that, you know, they're looking for maybe the best of young players or the best of a certain category of players, if you like, because again, they can't go and maybe get somebody like full time like Lauren can. And so a lot of clubs are in the same boat, aren't they, Johnny, really, when you sit back and think about it?
Yeah, it's tough for probably Corian and Cliftonville, and they're probably trying to get the best players here part-time, fighting for them, or fighting, you know, for players who don't want to go full-time. You know, like Niall Quinn, for example, he's not going to be full-time next year at Anfield, so it's probably going to be what, between Crusaders and maybe Cliftonville or Glenavon, they sign him, so whoever, you know, comes out with the best offer and near him will probably get him. So, but yeah, look, I think Loughgall and what they're trying to do and give players an opportunity who aren't playing first-team football, it gives them a chance to get more minutes in the bank. And, you know, Kirk has done that, obviously, at Championship level as well. And obviously, look, Nettis coming back to Loughgall after he left Corian, and look where he's at now with Carrick. And Peter Campbell obviously started at Loughgall, and he's flying with Glenavon. So there's just
Jordan Gibson.
Jordan Gibson.
He's the cup final on Saturday, you know. So
I think
it comes down to scouting network as well. I think if you have a good scouting network and you have good connections with people in and around the area, because obviously Northern Ireland isn't a massive area, so in football terms, everybody knows everybody. But if you can have a really good scouting network in terms of finding good young players early, that certainly helps.
And I know all the celebrations, and we all seen them, and it's brilliant to see. But I mean, Dean, have you allowed yourself now to sort of step back from that and actually to think about the enormity of next season, about what's coming? Because, you know, we've talked a little bit about the full-time teams, but, you know, you're now sort of pitting your wits against Larne, Linfield, Glentoran, three of the top professional teams in the league. Does that excite you? Does it scare you? What way do you look at it?
Look, first and foremost, it's exciting to have these teams come until Lakeview, and again, like yourselves and Coleraine coming, obviously bring a decent away crowd. You know, it'll be a good atmosphere. It'll be a good game on a tight pitch, and you know, we want to come across that we are there again on Murd, and not just, as I said, just for the crack. But it does excite you. I think as a football manager, or as a football player, or as a football club or team, whatever, I think you want to play at the highest level possible. We're no different to everybody else, you know. So yes, we've got there. Now we've got to go, oh shit, so to speak, how are we going to stay here? So that'll probably be a work in progress as the season goes along.
You mentioned Lakeview Park there. How crucial is home form going to be to your chances of competing in the league next year?
Massive. Look, it's no secret. I think if you look at the bottom six clubs, you know, their home form is crucial to getting the most points. We'll be no different, and we want to try and make Lakeview as difficult as possible till any club that comes, you know. So when cool rain comes, the grass will be about 4 inches long. We'll have the tracker up and down it on the Friday night beforehand. You know, so it's no, I'm only joking. Like I said, yes, it is. Home form is crucial for not just the bottom six, but for any club that wants to do well. Their home form is crucial, and I think for us, we have got probably, you know, it's a really tight ground. It's compact. You know, when there's a crowd in there, there's a really good atmosphere, and sometimes that can work for you, and sometimes it can work against you. We've got to make sure it works for us more times than not.
And also, just when you're talking there, a bit of a rarity, a grass pitch.
Yeah. No, look, don't get me wrong, grass is by far the favourite ones to play on in terms of players and staff. Everybody wants to play on a grass pitch. We've got to be realistic also that because of the climate that we live in, it's very difficult. And we are very, very lucky to have a really good groundsman who looks after the pitch like it's a baby. You know, you don't hardly like to look at it, you know, from a Sunday till a Friday, because he's on it and he's cutting it and he's doing his bits and pieces. But like any grass pitch, it will cut up in the winter months. We know that, but we try and make the most of it in the early months and obviously the later months. But, you know, if you look at all clubs now, and it's a financial decision as well, you know, when you get a 3G or a 4G down, you know, it allows your youth teams to play there, to train there, for you as a first team to train there, and it's probably does save the clubs a lot of money. So it is maybe something that we had looked at somewhere down the line, but we are a wee bit different because just 75 yards from our pitch, we have our own full-size 3G. So we do have that facility, and we're very lucky to have it.
Dean, obviously you played us in the Irish Cup. I think you played Glenavon there recently too. So does that help sort of prep knowing that you've sort of played other teams in the Irish League?
Glenavon, yes, because we won on cold rain, no, because they battered us in the second half. So
you were leading at half time, if I remember.
Yeah,
rightly, were you?
We were leading at half time, and the team thought was look, we know they're going to come out. We'd be compact. We try and stay in the game as long as possible. And to be honest, you know, cold rain battered us, and I come away from the game thinking, oh my God, if we go here next year, this is going to be on a weekly basis, not just a one-off game. We've got to be so much better. So, yes, it's helped because it set the gauge for where we need to be. But on the dead, it wasn't very good, to be honest, because I thought the second half we were poor as much as usual. We're good.
Not goal. Ground, Johnny, you spoke to Dean on a weekly. Did you get to many of the games, Lock All, or no?
No, but I drove back one day when I got lost on my way. I think it was one of my first times trying to get home. And
that doesn't exactly count. Like, I mean,
no,
sorry.
But here, Bush Mills, they are, man. I went to work on a Monday and came home on a Tuesday. So
that's a brave trek. But I was going to say, because from a Korean supporters' point of view as well, I think all fans of all clubs quite like away days, and particularly, like you mentioned, Dean, it's a new ground, isn't it? It's a novelty, you know.
Yeah, I've never been to Lakeview in my lifetime. So,
there'll be Korean supporters of a certain vintage that have been to Loughgall and maybe don't have the best of memories of playing Loughgall back in the day.
Yeah, I think Loughgall knocked us out of the Irish Cup twice, haven't they?
Yeah. I was the story I was being told on the way up on the bus to the Irish Cup game, thinking, I think everybody expects us to win here because we've done it twice before.
Yes. I think those defeats, they still hurt around Korean, Dean.
Well, they've got nothing to do with me. I wasn't
hurt. I appreciate that.
As I said, look, all when they were last in the Premier League, it was a different format. I think it was 16 teams then or something. And, you know, there was maybe a wee bit more of an opportunity to gather points, let's just say, than what there is at the minute. But, look, as you said, for British supporters, it's a bus trip. You know, supporters love getting on a bus and having an hour down the road and maybe having a beer or two and coming into a new club. And you know, and it is a very welcome family-run club, and they'll be well looked after when they do come.
The Korean boys will love that. Sorry, Johnny, go ahead.
I think with the ground, I think you will be good to go for the first game of the season if you are at home.
Yeah, look, as I said, the work started on Monday. To be honest, I don't think there's that much work to be done. There's a new turnstile block that's being built at the minute. We have a toilet block that needs to go down at what we call the away end, and a small bit of tarmac in order to make a walkway around your whole pitch. You know, you have to have your whole pitch with a walkway around it. So Yeah, I think it's very, very little, but the club are looking at, you know, maybe putting a new stand up and doing all the bits and pieces of work to sort of to make the ground look really compact and tidy. So hopefully that gets done as well. And, you know, it will make the ground, you know, when there is a crowd in it, a really fantastic atmosphere.
There is a bar, obviously, yes.
Of course.
That's the important
thing. That was one of the reasons why I went there.
I'm just thinking the boys that are listening to this podcast, they're all thinking there has to be a bar there. And the good thing is, as Johnny and I both know, and you know yourself, Dean, from your time in football as well, is Corian's one of the better supported clubs as well. You know, they will travel en masse down to Loch Ball and have a great day, as you said.
Yeah, we hope they have a great day and don't get anything back up the road. You know, I hope we get the 3 points, but they have a great day. No, look, it is, you know, when you look at the fixture list and it comes out, you're looking for the clubs that bring the big away support. You know, you look at your Linfields and your Glentorns and your Coleraines. If you look at your average attendance, I think you're right up there, no second or third, isn't it? In average attendance, especially in an away game. So you're going, you know, that's the clubs that you want coming to Leck for, bringing a big crowd, you know, making a really good atmosphere at the ground. And as I said, hopefully helps our players more than it helps yours.
Maybe a wee bit of sadness at Port Down are down. Obviously, it's another county or another team. That would have been a derby, like another derby, I suppose.
Well, in a football point of view, yes, you want to have your derbies, you know, without a doubt. You want big crowds and derby games. But from me putting my football manager hat on, it's great that they're out of the league, because, you know, if we and Port Down had been in the league, we would have been talking to the same players, let's be honest.
Yeah.
You know, in the same area. So for me, being totally just looking at it from a football point of view, I'm sort of glad they're away, because they're now out of our hair in terms of they're in the championship in a different league and maybe talking to different players that we would have in the championship, where now we're a Premier League club. We need, you know, Premier League players, and maybe Premier League players will find us more attractive than the championship clubs.
Yeah. And would there be any possibility, I'm not quite sure if that would work or not, but possibility of getting some floating fans that maybe would have followed Port Down coming to watch Loch Gall in the Premiership?
Yeah, without a doubt. I think, you know, especially when the bigger clubs or the better clubs come to your ground, you're always going to get fans that want to come and watch the better teams, whether it be, you know, a Linfield, a Coleraine, a Glentoran, or whoever. So there is an opportunity to pick it up. And, you know, I think Johnny's already touched on it. We aren't a massive village. We're 282 people, you know, and we had over 1,000 on the ground on Saturday. So, you know,
where do they all come from?
We hired them in for the day. No, look, it's obviously come from the wider community. You know, Blackball is a small community, but it is, you know, based between Dungannon, Armagh, and Port Down. It is, you know, 6 miles either side. It'll take you to any one of them towns. So we are picking up fans from other places, thankfully.
And that will only improve as once you get up and running in the Premier League. I mean, I think Johnny mentioned it, but I mean, do you have the capacity then to cope with big numbers?
Yeah, I think our overall capacity will rise when they get the final bit of work done, to roughly in around 3,000. You know, which for us would be like a bumper crowd. You know, and if you were to get 2,500, 3,000 into our ground, the atmosphere would be electric. You know, it would be like 18,000 at Windsor Park. You know, so it swings around about, you know, tight compact grounds sometimes make for a better atmosphere.
I know. Like Oran has spoken in the past many times, you know, when the Corian Showgrounds is packed for a big game, and particularly a night game and stuff, and he really, really bigs up the atmosphere that a nice, small, compact ground, when it's full, generates. And then, of course, as you said earlier, maybe the players can react to that and you can get enhanced performances out of players because they feed off that.
Yeah, well, if you look at Windsor Park, you know, Windsor Park, again, you could have maybe 4,000 or 5,000 people in it, and they're still lost, you know. There's not a fantastic atmosphere in it, but if you bring that 4,000 or 5,000 to the Coleraine Showgrounds or Glenavon or anywhere else, it becomes a massive electric atmosphere, and the players and the crowd thrive off it.
And I guess whenever the fixtures come out, I'm not sure when they're being released, but who would you like as your first game and where?
Probably being honest, probably Linfield at home. You know, and that's being honest, because, you know, we're all going to have to play the big clubs at some stage, and you want to get them in there, for me, early as possible, to gauge where you need to be. You know, if we are miles off it, then you know, right, we need a fix here. Where I think if you start off against the bottom six club and you maybe don't get the result that you want, it sort of starts it on a bit of a dull, you know, it sort of dulls the season down, where I think if you have a big crowd coming to Lakeview in the first game and a Linfield or the champions even the round, then you know everybody's up for it, and it does drive everybody on in terms of players. You know, they'll obviously give that extra 5 or 10% just because of who they're playing.
That would be a bit of a pinch me moment, Dean, I would think.
Yeah, it's it definitely is. We had Linfield in the Irish Cup over COVID, and there was nobody in the ground. it was so weird. You know, it was nearly like a pre-season friendly, and you know, I think it was the Irish Cup quarter final at that stage. So, you know, it's better to have spectators in the ground and have it full and have an atmosphere where you probably look back at it in years to come and go, yeah, that was a really good day. You know, hopefully for us.
If you're even like pre-season, like sort of like you're probably going to maybe play a better standard of team, maybe, or have you even thought about that yet? Or
yeah, pre-season's so difficult for us because normally what we did with being in the Championship, we were always able to play 5 or 6 Premier League clubs, where we can't play Premier League clubs now. So we're having to look at Championship clubs and Championship 2 clubs and going, right, okay, it's going to be a completely different pre-season for us, because we played certain clubs that we knew that we probably weren't going to win the game, but it would give us a really good run out. And again, let us see where we were fitness-wise and football-wise, where we don't really have that now. You know, obviously, because we have the connection with Huddersfield, the hope is that they're going to come over again in pre-season and bring a squad over. So obviously that will be a big game, and it's trying to pick up a few other games. We maybe look at down south and we can pick up a couple of games down, because a game Dundalk's 40 minutes from us. So that's the sort of things we've got to be looking at. It's a different type of pre-season.
And what about going into the Premier League, the other managers and stuff? I mean, I guess through your time in football, Dean, you probably know most of them. I mean, great to, on a professional level from you, to pit your wits against them, but also on a more social level, just to reacquaint with a lot of guys and guys that maybe you know through football in the past.
Yeah, I think I know most of them, you know, it was pretty well to speak to them. And again, it's good to pit your wits, but it's good to make them connections also, because somewhere down the line, they'll maybe be able to help you out in terms of a player or knowing a player or knowing even a member of staff that maybe is out of work and is looking work, you know. So it does help in all sorts of manners, having that connection. And to be honest, you try not to fall out with too many. I know it's difficult at the time, but you try not to fall out with too many, because, you know, you obviously need them somewhere down the line.
But that is so true, and Johnny, you'll back me up. Like, it's such a small world, isn't
community.
It?
Community.
It's a small community, and all the managers in the Premier League, looking from where we are, all seem to get on very well, Johnny, and have good relationships. And that's what Dean's saying. You can't afford to fall out with anybody, can you? Really?
No, you'll never know when you need a favour. And yeah, there is definitely a mutual respect, I think, between them all, and I genuinely do believe that there is. Yes, obviously. You know, they all want to beat each other on a Saturday, so yeah. Over 90 minutes. But at the end of the day, there's usually 99 times out of 100, sorry, there's always a handshake at the end of the game, and you just get on with it. And yeah, no, look, I think it'll be an interesting summer. I think a lot of teams will maybe go a wee bit mad. It'll be interesting to see what happens at the full-time teams and stuff like that. So, but yeah, no, I think it's great to see a fresh face in, and it'll be interesting to see if Afana or Warren Point or Duncan in the league whenever all that nonsense gets sorted out, really. So, be interesting. To see what happens.
Do we know what's happening with that, Johnny? You're a man in the know. What's happening with the playoffs?
Well, they haven't said anything until the end of June, really. So, the start of June. So, you know, where players contracted, you know, are loan players allowed to play, or players booked on holidays. You know, Anna United could go with nearly 3 or 4 weeks without a game. Same with Dungannon. So, like, what do you know? How do them play? You know, it's very, very, very difficult for everyone involved. You know, will Warren Point be, you know, will Anna United be training now for a game that they might not even play when the appeal's up here in the 10th? So it's just 101 different questions.
I think there's a knock-on effect. It doesn't just affect the Premier League.
There's not greater.
And the Irish, you know, the immediate Premier League as well, because it has this knock-on effect that if Warren Point do get, you know, obviously through to the league, so to speak, you know, there's obviously one less team in the Championship. So what happens? Does one come up? You know, is it a playoff to get up, or does it just be an automatic one? And then who comes into that, you know, obviously what I call the Championship 2, who comes into that, or do you keep the bottom club in it? And it's so many questions. And I think it could have been handled a lot better. I think, you know, obviously we're speaking on a podcast and I'm not speaking in line, but the AFA, you know, seem to do it every year. There's always a drama at some part in the season, nearly every season. And unfortunately, this one's come right at the end. You know, it literally threw it out 2 days before the season finishes. Whether there was dialogue with Warren Point and whatever, I don't know. But it just seems, I think it could have been handled a lot better.
Yeah, as I say to everyone about it, just doesn't look good for the league in general.
No. You know, obviously Niffl's working really hard, and again, we have two governing bodies running the same league. You know, so it is sort of he said, she said sort of thing. So it is tough. You know, the likes of Niffl, who probably didn't know about it until we knew about it, until it was released in the press, and then, as I said, everybody's asking these questions, and there's loads of rumours flying about them. The only people that really know is AFA and Warren Point.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it'll all come out, I suppose, in time as well, won't it? What about, you were on the Irish League show then the other night, and your Darren Mullen was on as well. Do you get a chance to maybe pick Darren's brains and get a bit of advice from him? He's been in a situation like similar to yourself.
Yeah, to be honest, I've spoke to a few people, and it's not really about the football. It's about how you deal with coming from a league where they're, you know, winning 8 out of 10. Where, let's be honest, we're probably going into a league where we're only going to win 2 out of 10 or 3 out of 10. You know, how do you deal with the other 7 defeats? You know, obviously, you take it very personal as a manager. You know, you take it; it's your fault. It's your name above the door, so to speak. And when you do get beat, you take it personally. So I was asking not just Darren, but a few people who have been there, like, how do you deal with this, you know, not winning every week? Because we've been using literally three seasons of literally winning more than what we've got beat. So how do you change your mentality to be able to cope with not winning week in, week out? And that's probably what I was picking his brains about and speaking to him. And if you look at Darren, you know, he's done 10 years as first team manager, and it's a phenomenal achievement. But, you know, he did say this season was very, very draining on him, and you can understand why, because, you know, you've so much pressure on you, you know, week to week, and you probably don't have enough time to recover from the last defeat to roll into the next one, and it's where it does build up. So it is tough, and that's probably my thing that I'm trying to get my head around, is that I know I'm going to go into the league, and look, don't get me wrong, I hope we win 7 out of 10, but we've got to be realistic also and say that we're not going to be able to do that, and how do we deal with that?
I think from our perspective, because we've been in, Corey had been in the league longer, and even Johnny will probably agree with me that there seems to be a number of mini leagues within the league.
Massive.
You've got your top 4, 5, 6 teams, for example. Then you've got your middle 2, 3 teams. You're going to have Ballymena's in there. And then you've got the bottom teams. And is it too trite to say, from your point of view, that you would have to be targeting wins over those teams that you can expect to be around where you are?
Yeah, look, I think, let's be totally honest, you know, I don't see the top 6 and bottom 6 changing, you know, next season. I'll be totally honest. So yes, we'll target our games and say, look, this is the ones we hope to pick points up in, but also if we can pick points up where we maybe weren't expected to, it'll help us along the way as well. But as you said, I think at the minute there's maybe, because the full 10 teams are pulling so much ahead, I think it's going to be, you know, maybe even next season, the top 3, which will be the full 10 teams. And then you have, you know, what I would call the bottom 3 of the top 6. That's another nearly mini league. Then you have your Ballymena and Dunavon, maybe Carrick's trying to break into that. And then you have your bottom 3 or 4, which will be obviously us and whoever else is in and around that. But so you've got to be clever enough to understand that, you know, there's going to be days where it's going to be tough. You know, and there's also going to be days where we can go and look and say, look, we have a real opportunity of picking up points. You've got to sort of pick and choose, I think.
It's interesting, Johnny, that change in mindset. And that must be very, very difficult because, as Dean rightly says, when you're used to winning games, all of a sudden to be going into a league where sometimes you have to accept that you're not going to be winning so many games, that takes a big mind shift, doesn't it? And that has to be learned, I guess, doesn't it?
It does, but it also give a challenge to the players when they know that, you know, a 6, they not all will know that they can't carry any players when they go out on a pitch on a Saturday. It's as simple as that. You know, in the Championship, you might have got away with carrying maybe 1 or 2, but when it comes up to the Premier League, you definitely need all 11 to be on the ball. And, you know, the local players will know that, you know, if the thing go, they maybe Corey in or a Gordy Crusaders and sneak a draw, you know, that's a point that they probably weren't expected to get. Whereas, you know, the likes of Carrick, the Glenavons, the Balmainas, that's the one we'll be, especially at home, you'll be targeting 3 points. So, yeah, look, I think Dean's spot on. I think there's nearly four leagues within the one league. There's two in the top six and two in the bottom six, and yeah. they top their mini league. And, you know, if this was now the 4th of May 2024 and Knockball finished 10th, I think Dean would be wearing a pink sombrero and I wouldn't be sober for
yeah, and there's yeah. Maybe a statue being built.
Yeah, so you know,
I guess that is the target, isn't it, Dean?
Yeah, but look, we're realistic enough that financially we can't go in and mix it with. You know, let's be honest, with very little of the clubs financially. We try and do our business differently, but also we also know that we're going into a new league that is, for me, has got stronger year on year for the past 5, 6, 7 years. And you know, we have got to find our feet and find it really quick. But yeah, if somebody said to me you're going to finish 10th on goal difference, I would, you know, break their arm for it. Let's be honest.
Did you take it?
I would take it. Yeah.
And if you did do that, then that could possibly give you the stability then for the following season, just to go that bit further and just gradually, like you said, over the last 3 and a bit years. You could gradually maybe try and establish yourself, like almost like a Carrick Rangers there, I suppose.
Yeah, look, I think that if you can stay past your first season in the league, there's obviously financial advantages to staying in the league. And again, once you stayed in your second year, you've obviously got that then finances to maybe to improve the squad again. So, you know, obviously everybody wants to stay in the league because it's a league to play in, it's the league where everybody wants to be, but also because of the finances available to them. If we were able to do that, then it would be fantastic, and it would put the club on a good financial footing, and also hopefully allow me to bring in the players that we think that can keep us there for another year.
No, Kenny Bristow in Loughgall team, no.
Well, at the minute, we're looking for an oilborn, a sheikh from Loughgall. So we're still searching Dubai and Saudi Arabia at the minute. We haven't found nobody, but the search goes on.
Everybody's looking for one of those. And for those unfamiliar with Loughgall, because they haven't been in the Premier League for a year or two, what can they expect? What kind of football does Loughgall play, or what style do you like to try and get your players to do?
Yeah, I think if you look from the cup final or from the cup game, look, because the pitch allowed us also that we were able to get the ball in and try and play football. That's not to say that we did it all the time, but it's obviously the style that we've been used to, and when you train like that, it's very hard to say to the players, right, we're going to get the ball and knock it up at 60 yards up the pitch. You know, if you train that way, you've got to let them play that way. So we know that at times next year that we've got to probably be more adaptable, let's just say, that we can't go out and try and get the ball down and play football for 90 minutes. We've got to be a bit more adaptable and have a plan B to that. So we work on that in pre-season. But, you know, for me, it's about playing football and it's getting the right players. You know, I think at the championship level, we've certainly shown that we can play football. I think we were probably the best team to watch, probably football-wise, but the Premier League's different, so we've got to be adaptable, you know. And again, I'm not saying it's good or bad, but, you know, when you go to Carrick on a windy Tuesday night, you're hardly going to get the ball in and play much football, so we've got to be adaptable.
Yeah, you've got to be a bit more pragmatic at times.
Yeah,
you, Dean, to get
100%. Sort of horses for courses.
It is horses for courses. And like, the good thing is your season's over and unfortunately, or maybe fortunately, Corian's season is still continuing, Johnny. Irish Cup final this weekend will probably dictate as to what happens for Corian. I mean, who do we expect to win on Sunday, and who do you want to win maybe?
Yeah, I'm for it. So, look, I think for Corian, they have less matches. I think if Crusaders won, they only have two in the playoff. Potentially, if Crusaders or Balmainas win, there's potentially three games. So, yeah, look, I think there's something telling me Balmainas is going to do it. I don't know. I'm not just saying that. I just think they've lost that many finals recently. Sure, they're bound to win one. That's my argument, especially after last year as well. So, I think if Crusaders click, like they have, you know, especially at home this season, they're going to be a hard team to play against as well. So, yeah, look, I think there'll be a lot of goals in it. I do think there'll be. I don't think it'll be a tight 2-1 or 1-1 after a full time. There'll be a lot of goals in it. So, yeah, look, I think, you know, after last year's disappointment, Balmain have maybe point to prove as well. So, no, listen, I think it'll be a tight game. For going to have less matches, obviously, and a bit of a rival there, you obviously want Crusaders to win. But I'm sure someone tell me Ballymena might end up doing it, to be honest.
Dean, I mean, I guess in your own job, you don't get to see the Premier League teams live as much as you maybe would have liked them. But I mean, what would be your view in the Irish Cup final this weekend?
For me, it's hard to look past what you get. It's just before they finish in the league and where Ballymena finished. You look at the points difference. Is it 20-odd point difference? You know, so it's very hard to look past them. But then you look at the semi-final where Ballymena beat Lauren. Nobody expected that. So, you know, it's a cup game. Anything can happen. And it's on the day who turns up, really. Probably like Johnny. I have a bit of an inkling for Ballymena, but you know, on saying that, I wouldn't be surprised if Crusaders won it either, because obviously their league form and where they've been in the league. So, look, it's going to be an interesting game, and to be honest, I'm going to it. So, yeah, I look forward to it.
Will you be at it then? Did you say?
yeah, we'll be at it as a neutral.
Very good. You'll be doing your homework, aren't they? With a notebook and pen and giving it the whole
like game. Yeah, you know, so much can change in 68 weeks. You know, you look at Crusaders team on Saturday and Ballymena's, and when you play in the cup, you'd have 8 different players, you know, in different positions. So, yeah, we'll look at it. And I'm just going as a spectator, really.
I want to be size of squad. I mean, Loughgall squad, would it be reasonably small, tight squad, I think?
Yeah, look, we've probably 22, 23 in our squad. And I'll be honest, that's what probably got us through, you know, we went through a really sticky patch around Christmas time where our form dipped. And to be honest, our performances weren't that bad. We just weren't getting the rub of the green and you know, probably getting the wee bit of luck that we deserve. But because we have such a tight-knit squad, we have, you know, they're all friends. They all socialise together. They all train and play together. And normally what I find is when you've got that tightness within the group, that normally, for me, that group got me 9 to 12 points. Mm-hmm. Last season, you know, because they're so tight and prepared to work and do that extra 1% for each other. So long may it continue.
That's something that I think that, again, echoes what Oren's always saying. He likes a relatively small, tight squad, you know, manageable squad, not carrying anybody, maybe as Johnny mentioned earlier, and just engendering that good team spirit, which, as you say, helps maybe pick up points over the course of a season.
Yeah, well, for an example, straight away, look at Chelsea. They're probably 35 world-class players and they can't buy one at the minute, and that's probably because they don't have a togetherness, so to speak. Excuse me. They don't have that team spirit. So, you know, there is pros and cons. Obviously, you want a big squad with quality, but also you want a tight-knit squad that is prepared to play for each other, and it's finding that balance.
Too many players is not a good thing either, especially where they're all probably in big money too, I suspect, Ben. So
yeah, you have to deal with egos as well, even within the Irish Premier League. You know, there's players that obviously think that they should be playing week in and week out, and sometimes when they're not, that can affect the changing room also. So you've got to be careful of who you're bringing into your club also. Yes, you want a good player, but you want a good person also.
Surely not. Egos in the Irish League? No, I don't believe that for a moment, but somebody we're just talking when somebody maybe doesn't have an ego, and we mentioned him at the start, Johnny, sort of quickly, I suppose, in passing, was Matthew Shevlin. And I think, you know, we really should pay a bit of tribute to Matthew this week as well. Finished the Golden Boot top scorer in the Premier League this season with 23 league goals. I mean, I'm trying to think, I should have done my research, but I can't think of the last Korean player to finish top of the goal scoring charts. But fantastic achievement for Matthew.
Yeah, probably would have been Rory Patterson.
And
before Rory, I can't remember anybody in my life, but definitely my lifetime anyway. So, no, listen, I think 23 goals for a striker. He hasn't really hit that many penalties, I don't think, maybe 3 or 4. So, a brilliant return. And he probably scored that many in February that people were wondering when his next goal was going to come from, putting that much pressure on him. But I think the big thing for Chevy and Corey next year is trying to find somebody else who can help ease that burden a wee bit. I think the next top goal scorer after that, I think it's Connor, if 10 in all competitions. So, you know, you need somebody up there as well who can help Chevy out. But credit to Matthew's games came on so much since he's joined Corey. Let's be honest. And, you know, he leads the line really, really well and puts his head in where it hurts and runs all day. But as I said in this podcast hundreds of times, you deserve, you know, if you work hard, you deserve that bit of luck in front of goal. And the two goals he took on Saturday were just clinical. One-touch finishes. It's nearly like the more time he has, the more likely he's going to miss. I think just instinctive finishes. I think he's really, really good at it. So yeah, look, big credit to him and Fitzy as well. He was runner up, I think, on 19, and he wasn't playing on Saturday, which gave Chevy, I think, a little bit of boost heading in there. So no, yeah, really, really good for Matthew, and a nice personal touch for him.
Yeah, I mean, Dean, it's good to see an award like that not going to one of the Belfast clubs or the bigger clubs or the full-time clubs. It's great for Corian and it's great for Matthew on a personal level, because I suppose he's had a few clubs and he came through as a very young player, had a little bit of a tricky time and thankfully has come out the other side now and looks the real deal, doesn't he?
Yeah, he looks fantastic and he's a handful. And as I said, he's probably thriving up being the main man of Corian. You know, he knows he's coming, he's playing every week, and that's probably a credit to Oren, so to speak, because Oren's trusted in him, has given that time week on week, and he's improved. You know, like any player, when they get enough minutes in the bank and they start learning really quickly, they'll improve really quickly. And Matthew's done that. And I just going back to what Johnny said, his two finishes on Saturday were fantastic. You know, nearly two very similar finishes, but yeah. Two fantastic finishes where, you know, maybe two seasons ago he was maybe snapping at them and only scoring one of the two. So, you know, he does have this improvement year on year, which is what you want to see with good young players.
And thankfully, he's just finding the net at the right time. He hadn't scored since Valentine's Day up until Saturday, and we were all starting to worry. But good to see him hitting the net with the playoffs coming, and hopefully we'll get a few more goals out of him. Guys, thank you very much. Dean, thank you very much for joining us on the podcast today. It's great to hear from you. Great to see you. And I think I speak for everybody at the Corian whenever we say welcome to the Premier League, and we're all looking forward to playing you up here and especially going down to your place as well for a day out.
No, look, thank you. First of all, thank you very much for for inviting me on. My throat is going. This is the last 2 weekends. thank you very much for the invite, and I'm glad to come on. Yes, we'll hopefully see you very soon down at Lakeview Park.
We will indeed. And Johnny, great to see your mate on the podcast there.
Aye, the appearance fee is coming through the post now, and be a great day to show you a bit of abuse at him from on the sideline.
Yeah, just send me your bank transfer, it's okay.
And you do realise when he said he was shouting abuse at you, he was being serious too, Dean.
No, look, I know he was standing behind the dugout giving me all sorts of abuse. He did it in the cup game, so I expect the same at Lakeview.
You'd be disappointed if he didn't, wouldn't you?
Yeah, well, that's it. Once he hears my voice, you know everything's all right.
Well, here, guys, thank you very much for coming on, Dean. Johnny, thank you as ever. We'll probably see you all at the cup final on Sunday this year, not Saturday. We'll see what happens, and that will go a long way to determining who Corian play in the playoffs. So we shall wait and see what happens, and hopefully by the stage next week, we'll know better who we play. So until then, take care, and as ever, come on the Bandsiders.